Good morning. It's good to be here. Thanks for those thoughts, Brother Mose. I appreciated those already, and my heart is overflowing again here this morning with the goodness of God. And that prayer that Brother Joe just offered up for Nicholas and Judy. In that prayer, he said, we prayed, strengthen our faith, strengthen their faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And as I was thinking of sharing a few thoughts with you this morning, a devotional, my thoughts kept going to faith. So we're going to read a few accounts here of Jesus' words about faith, but that's not the burden of my message this morning, of my short little devotional. Luke 17, you can turn there if you wish. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read from verse 1 through 6. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now who can do that? Who can forgive someone seven times in a day, day after day? And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. So what does it take to make that sycamine tree move? It takes faith. Let's turn to Matthew 21. Verse 18 to 22. This is a different account here. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, in other words, we would say, and immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Is Jesus talking about a real mountain? I'll let you answer that. But I think there's a lot of times we make mountains out of molehills. And sometimes there's real mountains in front of us. I mean, things look impossible. How are we ever going to get all this work done? How are we ever going to get through this? What can we do about this, or what can we do about that? There's big mountains, but faith is what it takes I'm going to read one more account here in Matthew 17 yet about moving mountains. Matthew 17, verse 14 through 20. And this here is a complete different account here, again, with Jesus. And it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and right there we could halt and talk about a grain of mustard seed a while there, but we're not. But if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Again, we're talking about moving mountains. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For the last several months, faith has been a big thing in my life. I keep thinking about it every day. I keep thinking, okay, what am I going to... To me, I translate faith as trust, as trusting. My children have faith in their dad and mom. My little children do. They have faith in us, but they look at it as trust. They trust us to provide for them food, shelter, and direction. They trust us in all those things. And so that's what we need to do with our Heavenly Father. We need to trust Him. Okay, are we going to trust Him while we pray for Nicholas's children to get better? Are we going to trust that he can do it and that he will do it? Are we going to trust when we pray for direction on what to share? How much do we trust him, really? Are we going to trust him with our vehicles, with our property, with our lives? How much do we trust? It's been a big thing for me. But the past several weeks, every time I think of faith, this verse just pops into my mind here. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we do need faith. It's the victory that overcometh the world. But if we have not love, we have nothing. We have nothing. He goes on here in chapter 13 and he explains to us what love really is and what it does and what it doesn't. First, I would like to say that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. That's the way the world loves, in word and in tongue. But let us love in deed and in truth. 1 John, all the way through, is just about love. And this is a subject that we can just touch on a little bit this morning. Provoke us, maybe, to making that more a part of our life. I'm going to read the fruit of the Spirit as it's written in Galatians 5. And while we think of the fruit of the Spirit, those seven different there's seven different aspects of it. I want to say fruits, but it's actually just a fruit, just something that grows on us. And then let's have that in mind as we read further down here in chapter 13. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which would be patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 3 here in chapter 13. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity here is directly interpreted as love, but there's different kinds of love, and this is a self-sacrificial love. This is a love that expects nothing in return. Charity suffereth long. It's long-suffering. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience. charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. When I think of the way I relate to my children on a daily basis, when I think of the way I relate to my wife, the people at work, charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not puffed up. It never thinks to brag about anything that it can or doesn't do. Does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, and it believeth all things. Here we're talking about faith. I mean, we're talking about love, but it plays right into faith. It hopeth all things, and it endureth all things. Charity never faileth. As we think of charity, of love, so how? What are we going to do? We're just going to drum up more love? Just going to try harder? Is that our answer? No, it's not our answer. We can't try harder to love. I used to hear this all the time in the Amish church. The highest commandment, I don't even know how you say it in English, I just hear the German words, the highest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I used to just try hard to love God. It was a God I didn't know. And I kept forgetting, and all at once the whole week would go by, and I never loved God all week this week. You know, how, you can't just try harder. So how do you love? How do you love your wife and your children, those the people at work? And we have even a much higher calling than that yet. It's by doing what Jesus did, self-sacrificial love. We need to give up self. It's easy to talk about, and I don't know how you do it, but I deeply desire and would covet all your prayers to know how to give up self, more of self. Why do we do what we do? Is self involved? If it is, then love is not there. We could go on here talking about charity, about love here in chapter 13, but time is going on. I'm going to read in Matthew 5, so if you want to turn there, we're going to read a few verses there. Matthew 5. Jesus is our, he's not our best example, he's our true and only example. He's always the one we can go to, and he has told us what we need to do, and then he has showed us at the same time. That's the blessing of Jesus. He didn't never just tell someone, this is what you should do. He always showed them with his very life. We're going to start reading here in Matthew 5, verse 43. We'll read down to the end of the chapter there. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We can stop, park right there for just a little bit. I think most of us adults in here have been at the point, and most of the children here have been to the point where they've been despitefully used and been wrongfully used, been wrongfully told to do something that it wasn't their job to do. So what should we do? Retaliate? No. We're supposed to do good to them that hate us. We're supposed to pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. Why? Because it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Maybe I didn't read that right. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It's a high calling. I'm going to read, and to go right with this, what Jesus told us here about loving our enemies and praying for them which persecute us. In Romans, if I can find it, Romans chapter 12, Paul quoted here, as he was writing to the Romans, he quoted Proverbs chapter 25. He quoted two verses from Proverbs here in Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. And it's a simple little thing, but it works. And most of us have probably experienced it, but why do we not use it more as a tool instead of thinking like the world does? Therefore, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, get back at him. No, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, self-sacrificial love. I'll just read a couple of verses here in John, and we'll close here. In First John, I mean, the subject is way too broad to just spend a few minutes, but we'll just touch on it and provoke us all, we hope, to thinking about these things. If we want to move mountains, it's going to take love. First John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So that's something that we can't just drum up and decide to do. It's a part of God. Love is a part of God. And apart from God, there is not love. It's the only way that we can love is having God with us, in us, giving self up to God. I'll read a few more verses here. He that loveth not God, for God is love. There again, he says it twice. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And I just had to think of that as Moses shared, as we sang that song, Lo, What a Pleasing Sight, and as Moses shared his few thoughts here. Love goes into the brotherhood, but I think it needs to start right at home with your family, showing, walking out practically love. And then it just overflows into every area of your life. That's all I have. Thank you.